Welcome to the Launch University Podcast, turning good intentions into reality in your career, business, and life. Here's your host, Jeff Henderson.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Launch University. And before I introduce my guest, who is a repeat guest on the podcast, let me tell you one of my favorite inventions. It's called the Magic Fountain, and it's something that Coca-Cola has invented. Actually, David Butler, our guest today, and his team invented it. I don't know if you've seen this thing. Some are in quick service restaurants. I see them in the AMC movie theater. I'm a big AMC movie theater fan, and I see this Magic Fountain in there. And every time I see that Magic Fountain, I think of David, and he's our guest today. And just the innovation and the leadership it took to get there and to make this product really a reality. And okay, here's what we're talking about in Launch University. Somebody had the idea of having a fountain that you could have like over 100 different flavors in, but how do you take that idea, turn it into reality, sustain it, and put it into the world? And at least from my perspective, it helps make my world a better place because I love the Magic Fountain because I'm a huge Coca-Cola fan, obviously as an Atlanta native. Now, David doesn't get into the details of that, even though I asked him about that, because he can't do that confidentially. But he is going to get through and talk through and continue to talk through, how do you think through these things? How do you think up these things? And how do you take great ideas, turn them into reality, and sustain them and help make the world a better place? And that's the reason we're doing this podcast. If this is your first podcast with us, just a reminder, or just to let you know, rather, you are the hero. We believe that you have great ideas and good intentions, and that's why you're listening to this. There's something in you that you want to launch an idea. It could be a business. It could be an organization. It could be something personal, but there's something in you that you want to launch. And we believe that there are certain principles of launching that can help you take that great idea, turn it into reality, and sustain it. So my friends, David Farmer, Shane Benson, Kevin Jennings, and I, we get together on a very frequent basis throughout the year. We talk about such things like this. We actually try to find times where we can meet with people like David Butler. And then one day last year, we said, well, why don't we just hit the record button and make these conversations readily available to more people? We're going to have these conversations anyway. Why not go ahead and spread them to the world and maybe help make the world a better place as we help launchers turn their ideas into reality. So that's why we're doing this. And that's why we ask David to be a part of these early days of Launch University. So without any further delay, we're going to dive into my second part of the interview with the Vice President of Innovation and Entrepreneurship at Coca-Cola, David Butler. Well, again, welcome back to Launch and Learn. And if you didn't listen to the last podcast that we had with David Butler, I would highly encourage you to do that because David was just dropping wisdom bombs left and right. In fact, David, I'd like to actually go back. For those that did not listen to that podcast, can you tell us again about making things people want? Because that's so important. And then go there, and then I'm going to introduce you to our crowd real quick.
Great. You know, sort of common belief or common approach to starting a company these days that most founders or, you know, entrepreneurs use is this idea of making things people want versus making people want things. And so, I mean, really what that boils down to is making a product or a service so good that, you know, someone couldn't imagine their life without it. And I mean, I can make some references, but, you know, so if you focus on that, just making your product or service, whatever it is, the best version that it can be, you know, people most likely will tell their friends and tell their friends and tell their friends. And so entrepreneurs, as you know, have very little time and very little money. So they don't want to spend a lot on marketing or, you know, big brand building, blah, blah, blah. You know, they really don't have an option, but that's what they do. That's why they focus just night and day on the product itself.
And I wish I had a dollar for every time I heard a launcher or an entrepreneur say, I wish I had a big budget like a Coca-Cola. And yet you're saying, that actually can lull you to sleep. The big budgets and that big kind of scale can lull you to sleep because it can prevent you from being agile.
Absolutely.
And David talked about connecting invisible and visible stuff to the organization. And if that doesn't make sense, you need to listen to the last podcast. But you talked about structure drives behavior, drives results. So it's that structure piece. So if you're launching, thinking about launching, whether it's inside or outside an organization, what is the structure? What is that invisible design? And before we go any further, you know, your book, Designed to Grow, which was a phenomenal book, it really had We have, actually at our church, we have a list of books down below that are on this wall that has really helped form us, our thinking, and this book is one of them. Can we define the word design, though? Because I think it's a very often used word and a very misunderstood word, because I think when we think of design, we think of artists and graphic designers. And you tell the story that one time somebody came to your office and wanted you to design a poster or something. So that's not necessarily what we're talking about when we talk about design. So can you give us a handle on what you think design is and why it's important for all of us?
Jeff, I think this idea is a big idea, and not just because, you know, design is in my title or anything like that. But, you know, as a leader, as an entrepreneur, if you can grasp this concept, it can really help your business. So let me jump into it. So two things. So what is a designer? And what is design? So let me start with that. So most people think, you know, when you think of the word designer, you think of, you know, designer products, designer, you know, anything. And you think designers wear, you know, black t-shirts and have tattoos and right. cool watches and cool shoes. But in fact, we're all designers. And this is the sort of mind shift. I mean, today I designed an email before I walked in here. This morning I designed one of my daughter's breakfasts. You know, I put together the things that she was going to eat. I designed what I was going to look like when I was going to come here, Jeff. I designed the way I was going to get here. You did this too. And the point is, we all design all the time, not just a select few people. So if you can get your head around that, so we all design all the time. In fact, we cannot not design. I like to use that double negative. So if you think about that, we're just all better at designing some things than others. So number one, we're all designers, and we all design all the time. That's the first big idea. Second is, so then what is design? We all know what good design looks like. Let me talk about good design. So mm-hmm. So one of my favorite restaurants here in Atlanta is called La Fonda. Mm-hmm. It's not a fancy restaurant. It's a, you know, Cuban restaurant. And but what I love about it is they have great food. The menu is easy to read. The parking is great. When I walk in, they know me and my family's name. They say, hey, David, you know. It's easy to pay. It's all these things make it very easy to have a great experience. And that's not by mistake, right? That's by design. So they have designed all these individual things to integrate, to come together, to create a great experience for David Butler and his family. Mm-hmm. And we usually go there every Sunday night, by the way. And anyway, so that's what good design is all about. Bad design is the opposite of that. So it doesn't matter how much money you spend, or think about a restaurant that you never go back to. You went there one time. Why? Maybe they had great food, but the lighting was terrible, or the menu, you couldn't read the menu, or the parking was terrible, or all these different things
right.
didn't come together to create a great experience. So again, good design is about making something better or easier or, you know, more profitable, but it's a combination, how you combine things together to create that experience or that net effect. That's good design.
And an example from the church space that I'm in, what is the design that we're trying to move people from a seat in the auditorium to a chair in a kitchen so that they're in a small group? What is the design process that's going to move them from that to there? So thinking through design is so important. And to do that, one of the things you talk about is that organizations need to have resilience versus strength. Resilience versus strength. And that's a little counterintuitive, because you think, no, we want to be a strong organization. We want to be strong fiscal, you know, profit, and that's true. But you say that resilience is actually greater than strength. So tell us what you mean by that.
Yeah, so let me answer that question. Let me ask you a question, Jeff. Have you ever had a Nokia phone? Did you ever have a Nokia?
I think I did years ago.
How about a BlackBerry?
I did not have a BlackBerry.
Yeah. When you were growing up, did your parents take pictures of you using Kodak film?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, I remember waiting for the code. You know, you drop it off, and then you'd come back a few days later.
So think about that. So these are all super strong brands, super strong companies, you know, leaders in their industry, and they're gone today, right? So just to answer your question, you can be strong, but if you're not agile, you could be left behind or extinct. And that's the biggest trap that large, successful organizations, you know, face.
And your role is basically, I mean, your title is VP of Entrepreneurship and Innovation, which is a really cool title, but it's really probably the director of resilience or the director of agility, would you say? I mean, that's you're trying to make sure that, hey, we stay agile.
Yeah, specifically, there's lots of ways to do that, but this specifically, I mean, what I do at Coke is, look at the startup community and make sure that we're working closely with them and learning from them to drive that agility. But yeah, the concept itself, every company needs to find a way to create agility.
That's fantastic. Now, you talked about the value of getting out of the building, and you were in San Francisco last week, so talk to those of us that don't have a big travel budget, but you really, and you've encouraged me, hey, get out of the office, best ideas aren't in a cubicle. For folks that are just starting up, they don't have a large travel budget, what could we do to, we need to get out of the office, but what does that look like? What is yeah. that? How could we do that so that we could go find those ideas?
A couple things. One is linking back to an idea that we talked about around prototyping and looking for problems, not brainstorming solutions. Another is just more inspiration. So let me hit the problem thing first. Again, oftentimes inside of every company, you know, you'll have a team when you're starting off brainstorming something. You know, let's have a brainstorming session or whatever you want to call it. And you sit in a room and you think, well, let's plan a 4-hour brainstorming session and we'll come up with a lot of ideas. You know, we'll spend or have a whole day offsite, a whole day where we're brainstorming something. But the key is to actually move as fast as possible. Again, like an entrepreneur, to actually come up with a problem that you want to solve as fast as possible, and then spend the time on testing the solution. So the idea of getting out of the building is actually just, you know, coming up with a, we talked last podcast about minimum viable product, yeah. but the minimum version of a solution, it could be a piece of paper. I mean, I'm not talking about a fully developed anything, but and getting out of the building, going, asking people if they would use this. Here's the problem with this sound, you know, fake it. You fake it basically to see if that solution sticks. So that's what I mean, getting out of the building. Because the temptation is to hire a bunch of smart people and sit in a room and talk and think and, you know, whatever. but that's not how entrepreneurs work today. And then the second piece of that is just inspiration. And one thing that I would encourage anyone to do is just get out of your building, go talk to entrepreneurs, go find people who are managing or working inside of a high growth company and ask them what they do. How do you do marketing? How much budget, you know, what's your budget like? How many people have you hired in the last 30 days? Whatever, what keeps you up at night? Just hang with people who are managing high growth companies, because everyone wants to be a high growth something, you know.
Well, and let me talk to the pastors out there. This is a great idea for, you know, every week people like David come to your church. It would be so cool for you to go to their turf. That was what, and when we went to David's turf, which is a really cool turf, by the way, the Coca-Cola building, I just learned so much. And I think you would honor the people in your church to go and see where they work and ask, hey, what are you learning? And I guarantee you, if you go in with, we're going to learn something today, you're going to learn something, even though you think, what does a church have to do with a beverage company? It's there's so many similar values and opportunities to learn. Now, let me ask you, what are some of your best places to learn, and how does David Butler get inspired?
So basically my job is to work with entrepreneurs around the world. So honestly, for what I do professionally, you know, being inside the different startup communities around the world. So in Berlin, the startup community in Berlin is similar but different than the one in Ho Chi Minh City, Vietnam, which is different than San Francisco and, you know, all that. So I get inspired just being with entrepreneurs and seeing how fast they're growing, you know, different things, different technologies, different business models. So professionally, that's what I'm talking about. But the travel piece of that, I get really inspired as well. Just, you know, just being exposed to different cultures around the world is super inspiring to me.
Now, in the book, you talk about the difference between pull, not push. So tell us the difference about that and why that's really important for a launcher.
Yeah, I learned that, I'll say the hard way, maybe inside of Coke. But when I got there, I started talking, you know, big about design and referencing companies like Apple and Nike and all these, you know, sort of companies that are normally associated with the word design. And I got, you know, over and over, people would say, yeah, it's great, but we're not a shoe company, David. Or we're not a, you know, we don't make phones. We don't, you know, we make beverages. So talk to me about Coke. So what I moved away from that, and actually all the way to not even using the word design, because that actually got in the way. So what I talked about and we really focused on was actually how to solve, again, problems inside of Coke. And once we could demonstrate that, people would say, hey, I don't know what you call it, and I probably won't get the words right, but can you come do that for my business or for my thing? And that's what I mean by pull. It's much easier to, you know, go to where the action is, where the pull is, than to try to push ideas on people and convince them and try, you know. So anyway, once you start getting traction or seeing, you know, pull, it's much easier to go with that momentum and leverage that.
Mm-hmm. Now, you're around entrepreneurs all the time, and are there some similar things that you've seen from successful entrepreneurs in the first year, let's say? You have a lot of people listening today. They haven't, and I totally understand this isn't a criticism, they haven't even said their idea out loud because they're too scared to, which I totally understand that. In fact, Davis Harwell, who wants to score music for feature films, he said, I had this dream inside of me, this launch inside of me, and I didn't share it with people for a long time. And So as you have people that are kind of scared to get this idea out, and now that you're around people who have gotten the idea out, are there lessons that you've learned in like that first year, the first really early startup days that you're like, oh, that's really good, but oh, they're doing that as well?
Yeah, a couple things. One, we talked about this a little while ago, but think about it as a process of learning. Mm-hmm. So day one, I'm going to start learning. And I think, you know, you have a hypothesis, you have an idea that you think could solve a problem that people have, and the idea is to start proving that wrong, proving that hypothesis wrong or right. And so everything you do is about learning. So again, it's not, you don't have to think it all the way through. It's just, I have a hypothesis, I have an idea that this could solve this problem, and you start testing that. So you build something and show it to somebody, hey, would you buy this, or would you use this, or what do you think? And it's just this process, diligent process of learning. So that's the first thing. Second is to create KPIs. Indicators of growth or progress. So in 30 days, in 1 week, I'm going to talk to 25 people and force yourself to meet that goal. But anyway, set up, you know, KPIs or you know, metrics around your process, and then you know if you're actually moving forward or not. That's another thing. And then I could go on forever, but you know, sort of third and last thing is we talked about this again, but try to spend the least amount of time and the least amount of money on proving that out. So again, it doesn't take a lot of money. Anybody can start tomorrow because you can start for free. I can walk up to you and say, hey, I'm thinking about doing this. What do you think? And you start learning. But it's more of a mindset. It's more just starting and measuring your growth.
For those that don't know what KPIs are.
So key performance indicators. So sorry, acronyms, doesn't matter. It's the goal or the objective that you have around, you know, forcing yourself to meet certain goals.
And the challenge with spending money is that the more money you spend, the more this thing better work. And the pressure that goes.
Which is great, because most entrepreneurs, to your point, start with nothing or barely anything. So there's not that pressure. I'm going to blow a lot of money. It's not about that. It's more about time. So they think about things in terms of time, not money. How fast can I get this to market?
Which is, it's a wonderful time to be a launcher in this day and age, because you can do a lot of things for a fraction of the amount of money that it would normally cost. Like a great example of this is Fiverr. I mean, you go to Fiverr.com and people will do all sorts of things. You know, they'll do a presentation for $5 or a little bit more than that, or 99 designs. There are all these things that you can do now as a fraction of the cost. And that's where think like an entrepreneur.
Yeah, another easy idea, great idea, Jeff. So again, lots of those kinds of ideas that are possible these days. But you can launch a website and say you're launching a product and would like to get, you know, signups. Would people be interested in signing up for this product? Tesla just did this for their, you know, and you know, people who are searching for your product like you want to offer will find you and say, yeah, I'd like to know more information. Immediately you start building a database of potential customers, and you go back to them and say, would you please give me, you know, feedback on our product? And you start having rapport with future customers before you have anything. This is a fake website, you know. So there's many, many things you can do to, again, start testing, learning as fast as possible.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because you say in the book, try this, launch it, and then pull it back. So that doesn't mean that when you launch, you've launched now until, you know, the end of the world. Launch it for a season and then pull it back. When you pull it back, what are you doing at that point?
Yeah, think about, again, this, you're just sort of stolen from the software industry, but, you know, version 1.0, version 2.0, version 3. So never think about it as the final thing. It's just the next version. So you launch something that's version whatever, 1.0. You learn from it, then you iterate, you know, change it, whatever you have to do to make it better. Call it version 2.0. You tell your team, hey, we're launching 2.0. Everyone gets excited about the next version. So just again, thinking is more of a mindset, but thinking about, you know, we're building versions of a thing, not the final thing.
To give you an example of how we did that here, and we launched an evening service called Gwinnett PM. And so we launched it for a while, pulled it back. We're now in the process of retooling it, and we're launching it again in the fall. So if it works, I'm taking credit for it. If it doesn't, I'm blaming you. Okay. So, but that's part of that. Hey, we're going to launch it and pull it back. The thing that I've had to do a much better job of, is letting our team know that's what we're doing. And so for those of us that think like that, there may be people on your team that, hey, so how's this actually going to work? And I can live in the gray, but I need to be more of, okay, here's how this is going to work. So it's kind of the both worlds as well. I brought out a lot in the book, but what did I not ask you that I should have asked? What point should we talk about before I let you go that you would say, hey, I think launchers need to know this about combining scale and agility?
Yeah, I think Jeff Opt and I get a question, something to do with the future. Hey, David, what's the future look like? Of course, I have no idea, right? I have no crystal ball or anything like that.
Right.
But I do know that there are two capabilities, two things, two superpowers, I call them, that every company needs, especially new companies these days. Big old ones, but new companies. Two things are design and data. So again, we talked a lot about design, wrote a book about it. So I won't go there, but if if you can get your head around thinking big about design, that's a superpower that you can build significant competitive advantage around. But also data. So in today's world, you can collect data. People will give you data. You can analyze that data. You can use that data to actually manage your business, your church, your thing, in ways that you can never do it before. And if that isn't intuitive, if that doesn't make sense, I'd encourage everyone to sort of look into that, because there's so much data flowing. If you carry a smartphone in your pocket, someone's collecting data on you right now. And if you just think about how you could leverage design and data to help drive your company or your whatever it is, I think those are two superpowers that every company should be looking at.
That's fantastic. We actually put some key learnings from David's book on our Launch University blog, so you'll want to check that out. Definitely check out Design to Grow by David Butler and Linda Tischler. And before we let you go, how can we stay in touch with you? You're on Twitter. How can we follow along with what you're doing?
Yeah, Twitter is probably the best way. Twitter. We also have a blog for, we call it Coca-Cola Founders, #Coca-Cola Founders, if you're interested in what we're doing at Coke with entrepreneurs. But Twitter is probably the best way.
Is it D. Butler?
Yes, D. Butler.
Look at that. How sharp am I today, huh? Well, David,
Jeff,
thanks.
Thank you.
Absolutely. David Butler, and follow him on Twitter, Coca-Cola Founders blog. And again, if you're just starting out and you think, gosh, if I had the big budgets of a big company, just understand that David's trying to put himself in your shoes. So you've got a lot of advantages right now that actually a larger company might not have.
Well, again, I can't recommend enough you picking up David's book, Designed to Grow. And it's a fantastic book. It's for those of you that might be working in a large organization and yet you want to think like a startup, or maybe you're a startup, maybe you're an entrepreneur, an entrepreneur, you're in these early days, and yet you've got to be, if you're really gonna launch this to a scalable difference, you gotta think like, how do I make this scalable? How do I make this create such a system that I can actually unleash this idea to more and more people? So if you're a small startup, you gotta think like a big organization. And if you're a big organization, you have to think like a startup. And that's what David has challenged us to do in these podcast interviews. This won't be the last time that we'll visit with David. Before we let you go, if you could do us a favor and just subscribe to the podcast, this will make sure that you get the next interview that's coming your way, which is with restaurant launcher Ford Fry, one of the leading launchers in the restaurant industry right now. And Ford, what he does is just absolutely phenomenal, and I can't wait for you and for me to learn from him in our next interview. And then just leave a comment on the podcast, talk back to us, and we'll talk back to you. And again, here's what we believe. We believe that since you're listening to this, that there's great ideas and good intentions in you, but it's hard to take those great ideas and intentions and turn them into reality, and that's why we're here. And we want to help you do that, sustain those ideas, unleash those ideas and great intentions into the world, and help make the world a better place. And we hope today's podcast has helped you take a step toward that, unleashing that great idea. So keep launching, keep learning, and we'll see you next time with Ford Fry on the Launch University Podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Launch University Podcast. We hope it's helped move you from go-getter to difference maker. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes and leave a review. Find more great resources at launchu.net.